I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour, where we are in our third week of the parable series. My dad was so pleased each week to be able to broadcast messages from the Word of God, where you can hear the glorious gospel and we can worship together. Every day we read such uplifting letters and notes sent to us. We are grateful for your prayers. A letter from a viewer in Pennsylvania reads, "Your continued airing of Pastor Salem's sermons each Sunday are such a joy to me. I look forward to them each week. I understand more from his messages because he preaches from the Bible. God bless all of you for carrying on his work." Today, Dad is going to share the parable of Jesus seeking the sinner. We hope you will be encouraged by today's message, The Pearl of Great Price. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and God has taken us along our way. Some he's taken home, but there are a good number of us left, and so we're going to worship the Lord Jesus together. And today we're going to be thinking about another parable that Jesus gave, and that is the parable of the pearl of great price. And it's a wonderful parable, as they all are. And so you can just turn to Matthew chapter 13 if you want to, and that'll be our scripture lesson also. But we're looking at Psalm 33 in the opening verses, where the psalmist says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with the loud voice. For the word of the Lord is right, and his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for all the way you help us, and we thank you most of all for the gift of your Son, Jesus. And it is our prayer that everyone who is with us today, worshiping with us, will be sure they've opened their heart to the Savior and ask him to come in and dwell within and give their life to him. We pray that none will perish after hearing the service, but listen to the Word of God and turn to the Son of God. So we pray your blessing in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jan's going to sing for us now a song entitled "Satisfied." And God bless you, Jan. Thank you, Jan, and that's a sermon in itself, that there's satisfaction in Jesus. And I want to tell you something, friend, you will never be satisfied until you personally know Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why. Because God made man. He made us so that there would be a compartment for God. There would be a place in our makeup for God. And until that place is filled with Jesus Christ, you will never be satisfied. And you may own half the world, and you may have your name plastered all over the world and be all renowned and be a king and a president, whatever you want, you'll never be satisfied till you have Jesus. And we're going to look at that in this wonderful parable in just a minute or two. But first of all, I want to read some of the letters. And we're just so thankful for all of you who have written in. And you can get your pencil and paper ready, because when I'm done with the letters, we'll give the address and you can write and hear from you. And you can tell us where you live, and maybe you have a problem, maybe you have a prayer request, maybe you have a suggestion or something like that. Always love to hear from you. We have a letter from Lostwood, North Dakota. My wife and I watch your program every week. We love the way you preach God's plan of salvation in a plain, loving way. There could never be any doubt what to do, what to be saved after listening to the service. I pray for you every night that God will give you many more years to do his work. And so here's a lady, and I'm so thankful because she prays for us every day, every night. And that's the most important thing that you can do. We have to have your gifts, and we have to have your help, but we have to have prayer. And unless God is in it, unless we're doing it according to God's will, it's a waste of time. And so I hope you'll pray for the Christian Worship Hour. Pray for our technicians. Half the time, I think they're asleep back there. I can't tell what they're doing. But they're here, and they're helping. And our musicians, they practice, and they work on their hymns. And believe it or not, I even work on my sermons. And so just pray for us, and then all together, we'll be a team. You're part of the team. You're part of the program, getting the word all over the world. So thank you for the prayers. Here's La Crosse, Wisconsin. This is from a women's prison. And this lady writes, "Well, I am currently incarcerated in La Crosse County Jail. I'm having a very hard time dealing with my emotions, and faith seems so far from me, and I need the Lord to help me through this so much right now. I just received papers today sentencing me to 9 months in jail. If you could please send me a Bible and scripture to help, and also pray for me." And she says, then she said, "I am at a loss for hope or anything else now. I really hope to hear back from you soon. Thank you." Well, I'm going to tell you what we do in a letter like this. First thing we do is we pray. And then we answer this lady's prayer and this request for a Bible. We send them free and postpaid. And we do that because you make your gifts. We couldn't possibly pay for all these expenses. But people in prison don't have much money, if any. And so we get a request for prayers a lot of times. In literature, we answer every one. And one prison in Montana, we heard from 14 different people in that prison. And so when you give, you just think about that. You have a part in ministering to these people. Now here this dear lady says, "I am at a loss for hope or anything else now." And that's why I just love to preach the gospel, because you're never without hope. It doesn't matter what your condition is. It doesn't matter how far away from God you are. He will take you back. And it doesn't matter if you're in the fiery furnace. He is there with you. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. And there is hope. There's always hope in Jesus. There's always another chance, a second chance. There's always another day. Oh, the gospel is a gospel of hope and the love of God. And I just pray that this dear lady will just find that hope and take hope and then be a good witness. For I always write to these people in prison. I said, St. Paul was in prison. And when he was in prison, he witnessed for Jesus Christ. And so many of these people in prison, are witnessing for the Lord. They're missionaries there. And God will use them and bless them and to the salvation of others. Great letter. Here's Coon Rapids, Minnesota. I like this one too. I like them all really, but this one appeals to me here. "Thank you for your sermons on heaven. Will we know our loved ones in heaven? And what is heaven really like? It's exciting to think about, to learn about, and to anticipate. We can hardly wait. But as you said, we are here yet because God still has work for us to do. That's exactly right. That's why you're here. That's some people say, why was I born? Well, you were born to glorify God, to know God and Jesus Christ, and to serve Him. You're purchased with a price. There is a reason for you here. And for those in old age, you know, when you get old, you get past 65 or 70. I'm going on 95 now, so I never heard what they're saying. I guess I just kept going. They say, oh, you better give them a watch and a gold watch and have them sit in a chair and then just relax and watch the television until he dies. He'll be on the way out. It won't take him long sitting there. He'll die. But you know, when you come to the Word of God says old people have a place in the kingdom too. And God uses us. And if you don't believe me, you just look up Psalm 92, verse 14. 92, verse 14. And here God says, they shall bear fruit in old age. They shall prosper. So you see, there's some place for us. And here this lady, she says, she's glad because there's work for her to do. You bet you're here for you to do. Well, you say, I'm in a wheelchair. I can't get out. I'm in bed. I can't get out of bed. Well, you can witness to the people that are working with you, the people that are serving you and helping you. And don't be a grump. But just smile and tell them what Jesus means to you. And you say, well, I've never been to seminary. I don't know what to say. Just tell them what Jesus means to you, how he gives you peace and comfort and saved your soul. And they can't argue you out of that because you experienced it. So I don't care how old you are. I'm 95. I'm still plugging away. And you say, well, maybe you should have retired and let some young guy do that. Well, I'm just going to keep praying and going as long as God gives me breath. And he'll take it and he'll bless it and he'll use it and maybe save your soul today. That's what it's all about, saving your poor, precious soul. Well, here's one, Bigfoot Montana. I'm so blessed to have found your ministry program last winter. I still look forward to seeing and being a part of the awesome gospel program. I'm so glad you preach the word and stay away from politics, which I believe promote hate and anxiety. Politics. I'm going to tell you, if you're sick of politics, we're not even through yet. Wait till we get to the end of the election. We're going to have politics till it runs out of our ears. And now I tell you, you ought to vote. I have people say, well, I don't like either one. I'm not going to vote. You vote. A Christian ought to vote. And maybe you have to hold your nose while you vote, but vote. And vote for the one that you think is probably the worst, the least of the two in being bad. But you just be sure that you cast your vote and you be a good citizen. And get into politics yourself and be a good politician that people can trust and serve. Okay, that wasn't even in the sermon. You just got that. Here's Lake Isabella, California. Thank you for bringing our Lord and Savior so personally to us. You preach His love and joy and give hope from His word that everyone has a choice where to spend eternal life. You make it real because it is real, a sister in Christ. Isn't that good? You make it real because it is real. It is real. You have a soul, and your soul is going to be in heaven or hell forever and ever and ever. Jesus wants your soul, and the devil wants your soul, and who's going to get it? The one you vote for, the one you give yourself to. And if you don't give it to Jesus Christ, then the devil has it. And nobody can do it for you. It's all the balls in your court, brother. And I hope that many today, I just have a feeling that many people are going to open their heart to the Lord. Here's Jamestown, North Dakota. Thank you for the timely message each week. Your service takes me back to my childhood at a sweet country church that preached the Bible just as you do. God bless you. Well, that's what the old timers did. They preached the Bible. Just preach the Word of God. Preach the Bible. And when we do that, God will bless it and use it to His honor and glory. And then here's one, Naples, Florida. My wife and I started watching the Christian Worship Hour 8 years ago, have not missed a Sunday. We are unable to attend our home church, First Baptist Church in Naples, for medical reasons, and now the Christian Worship Hour is our church. I can't begin to tell you what your service means to us. We pray you'll continue to be in your work for many years to come. God bless you and the staff in God's love. Now, that's a beautiful letter. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to preach it as long as God gives us breath. And when I'm gone, there'll be somebody else that'll come in and carry on. Because God's word's always going to have his word. And we do it as the old timers. We preach the Bible. Just preach the Bible. People want to know, is there any word from God? Yes, there is. And that's what we're proclaiming week after year after year for over 38 years. Always the Word of God. And this lady says, the Christian Worship Hour is our church. Now that's wonderful and that's what we want. But if you're able-bodied, you ought to be out to church. You ought to go to church. Find a church where they preach the Bible. Don't say, well, I belong to such a denomination. I'm going to be there forever. I'm never changing, never changing. You look around until you find where they preach the Bible. That's what it, where it's centered on the Word of God. But if you can't get out, you're incapacitated. You can't get out. You can't get around. Then we're your church. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst of them. Well, we're gathered all over the world. And the Lord is in our midst, and we're at the throne of grace, and we're rejoicing in the Savior. Praise God. Here's one more that I want to share. Great Falls, Montana. I thank you and your team for your sermons each week. On May 22nd of this year, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Many times before I prayed with you during the invitation segments of your sermons, but I was missing the final step to complete the transaction, telling someone. As you have stated many times, Satan will try to get us to do it later as opposed to right now. And that's exactly right. The devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He will never tell you that. He'll say, wait, don't do it now. See? And so he means you put it off, he's winning the day. And every time you put it off, the next time it's going to be easier. And here's a dear brother, he's prayed and accepted the Lord. And he said, I need that final step. You know what the final step is? Tell somebody. God doesn't need the people in the secret service. He needs us out as witnesses. We are ambassadors for Christ. And you say, well, I've never been to seminary. Good for you. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. He took away my sins and he gave me peace at heart. And I love Jesus. And I talk to him all the time. Just say what he's done for you. They can't talk you out of that, see. So now if you've accepted the Lord, you write to us. And then write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we need to have your help. We have to pay our way. And the Bible says you have not because you ask not. If I don't say anything about it, you'll say, well, they probably got plenty of money running out of their ears, so they're not asking for it. We need it from week to week. And you says, well, I don't know if you're going to spend it right. I don't know if we can trust you. I don't know anything about you. Well, I don't know anything about you either, but I'll take your money, you see. But here's the thing, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. And they not only audit the books of what we take in, but they check to see what we spend it on. And if we don't spend it on what we claim to spend it on, and that's the preaching of the gospel and the getting of the word of God, they won't endorse us. And we're in good standing of the ECFA. As a matter of fact, they have a little website. You can look them up. They'll show our budget and everything. There are no secrets with us. But we have to have your help. So what we ask you to do is say, now, dear Jesus, is this program something we should do? Should we support this? And then the Lord will say, maybe you'll say, supposing just yes. Then say, how much? And then he'll tell you. And you say, that much? And he says, yes, that much. And whatever it is, I don't know. And then you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. Or ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send it up on that internet. And so you do that. So now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray. And then you give as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all who are helping and will help in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Appreciate your ministry of music so much. We're reading from Matthew 13, and you better look carefully because it's only two verses. Jesus gives this parable about the pearl of great price, and he tells it in two verses. And yet you could write a book on it. That's the way God is. He is. His word is so beautiful and is so wonderful and it is so compact. And it has so much in it. We're going to preach a whole sermon on two verses and not scratch the surface. So this is what he says in Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. I know some of you gather, you have a little church service. You gather together. You have your Bible. And we had a letter just the other day of a lady. She and her husband always sat together and read the scripture. Now God took him home. She's there. And she's worshiping the Lord. And I know a good number of you alone, but they're not alone. Jesus is with you. Someday you'll be together again through the Lord Jesus. And this is what Jesus said, verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let me read it again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. So we're going to pray, and today and now we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iraq. Every week we pray for some of our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted all over the world. Last year, they said in 2015, there were estimated that over 7,000 Christians were martyred, not tortured or put to death. As long as they've kept records, there's never been that many before. So these are hard times. In the Christian Worship Hour, we've always been praying for a country every week. And we're going to speak more and more in our sermons, words of comfort to those that are afflicted. God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And that means the people in America and the people in sick beds, but that means the persecuted church all over the world. And we're going to keep them in mind more than ever before. God bless them. So let's have our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you today for your wonderful word. And there's so much in it, oh my dear God. We just preach from it and we study it and we preach it and preach it and preach it. And when we get to heaven, we'll see we haven't scratched the surface. It is a word of the living God. There's nothing like it, nothing to compare with it, because it comes from your heart. And holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And they wrote down the words. They were the stenographers. They were the secretaries. And you told them what to write. And so this is a holy book and a holy word, and it will never fail, and my word will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. A wonderful word of God. And now today, dear Jesus, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Iraq. We know some of them have been put to death. And oh, we are so thankful for those who are strong enough that they absolutely would not give in. They would not deny you. And in Arabic, they say, Jesus is Lord, and they're put to death. And someday we're going to see them, and we're going to see them in glory. And they wear the crown, the martyr's crown. Won't that be something? And we pray for those left behind, the wives, the mothers, the children, the grandchildren, the friends, the brothers and sisters, and all of the rest. And we just know that you'll be with them and help them to see that it might not seem that you're in charge at all, but you are, and you have a purpose and a reason. And help us just to believe that and just trust you, and someday you'll show us. So now, Lord, bless us in this service. Bless this wonderful Savior who came to this world, gave himself on the cross, raised the third day. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's going to sing for us. He's going to sing, I love this song, The Old Rugged Cross. God bless you, Hank.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I loved that old cross where the dearest and dearest for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll share trophies at last I lay down. I will cleave to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for to that old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach I'll gladly bear. Till he calls me someday to my home so far away, where his glory forever I'll share. And I'll cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange someday for a crown.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you. Hank's been with us since day one on this program. I don't know how many songs he's sung, but seems like all the time he gets better. I don't know, but that cross, that's what we were, that's what we glory. And Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the crux of the whole thing. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross shedding his blood and paying for the sins of the world. And thank God he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, but he was raised the third day. And he's alive today, and he's at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us. And so that's all we have, is the old rugged cross. That's where our sins were paid for in full. And we can, and so that's why we follow him. That's why we wear a cross. That's why we have a cross on our church. It's because it all centers around the cross. You know, there's, Christianity could have taken a lot of different things for a symbol. They could have taken a cradle, and that could have been the symbol for Christianity, where Jesus was born. Or they could have taken a boat where he preached the gospel from the boat. Or they could have been a dozen different things. But what did they pick? They picked the cross, the old rugged cross. And that's what we glory in, and that's what we uphold. Well, now today we're looking at the third parable. This month we've looked at three parables. There's a third one. Next week we're going to close out the month of August, and it's going to be on the prodigal son. And I preach a lot of different times on the prodigal son. Every time I preach it, there's something new. And so that's what we're going to look at next week, the prodigal son. But today we're looking at this parable that Jesus gave, took two verses, and it is the picture of the pearl of great price. Now there, the figure is of a treasure, and the treasure is sought, and the treasure is purchased in this little parable. And so here's the figure. There's a treasure. And so then if somebody finds that treasure, and somebody comes and buys that treasure. And so then we have the merchant man. And the treasure here is named, a pearl. And the merchant man is seeking pearls. And so he comes and he finds this wonderful pearl, the most beautiful pearl he's ever seen. And he's seeking possession of something by purchase. He wants to purchase it. And the treasure he wants to purchase is a pearl. And it's a pearl of great price. To understand this parable, we have to need to be very sure that we understand two things. We understand about the merchant man, and we have to understand about the pearl. What are they? Of the two, the pearl takes center. And we just think of the whole thing, all of this whole story is about this pearl, this great pearl of great price. The emphasis on the pearl of great price. And we have to keep those things in mind and remember that here's a merchantman and he's coming to purchase a pearl. Now, the popular feeling and teaching of this parable is that Jesus is the pearl of great price and that the merchant man is the sinner. And the sinner seeks after Jesus, who is the pearl. And the sinner gives everything he can to have Jesus because he's this pearl. And so the sinner is the one who seeks and purchases and possesses this wonderful Lord. He possesses his Lord. There's even a song about it. And I love our hymns, but sometimes here's a hymn that says it like this. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy. And sing I must, for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I. Now, that's very good advice. We ought to seek after Jesus Christ. We ought to give all that we can to be close to him. We ought to put him first in our lives. We ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We ought to look for this Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one great thing. He's the one great treasure. We ought to forsake all the world for this Lord Jesus Christ. But this is all true about this. But what this parable isn't talking about that. That's not what this parable is talking about. And I'll tell you why it isn't talking about that. And it is as plain as day. And that is because nobody can work for their salvation. Nobody can purchase or buy their salvation. And if you don't believe me, you just take an inventory, because most people think that's what they do. They will do some works and they'll get to heaven. If you just go out on the street and interview 10 people, I'll bet you the 10 or 8 or 9 out of those 10 will say, how are you going to go? Are you going to get to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to get to heaven. How are you going to get there? I'm doing good works. And so they'll say they do all of those works. plain as day. But God tells us we can't be saved by works. This is what he says in Romans 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not. But to him that worketh not. Romans 4, verse 5. Him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It is not by works, but it is by faith in Jesus Christ. You don't work for your salvation after we're saved. Then we work for the Lord. But we work because we are saved, not to be saved. This is what Isaiah tells us. Isaiah 64, verse 6. For we all are as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. St. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of your work, not of your works, lest any man should boast. You see here, if we're going to get into heaven by our works, everybody will be saying what they did to get there. They'll be just a bunch of braggarts, and you get sick of them. And when we get to heaven, we'll say, I didn't do a thing but believed. I was saved by grace. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. There wasn't anything that I did but believe. It's a gift of God. You can't pay for a gift, not a penny. And so then you come to this parable. And so this parable is not a picture of the sinner seeking after Jesus, but it is a parable of Jesus seeking the sinner. Just the opposite. All right, now keep that in mind, and let's look at it. First of all, real pearls are the products of a living organism. That's not true of any other precious stone. The sapphire, the diamond, the ruby, the emerald, or any other. They're just a piece of a stone, but a pearl comes from a living organism. And then of all the precious stones, the only one is the product of a living organism, and that is the wonderful pearl. Secondly, how is the pearl produced? Well, we all know the story. It's the result of an injury. An injury is done to a living organism, and a little grain of sand or something gets underneath that shell of the oyster. It's injured. And then it covers that injury with a knocker or a special fluid. And layer upon layer and layer upon layer, it pours that and puts it there until all of a sudden there's a beautiful pearl. So there you have it, a living organism injured by a grain of sand or some other minute object. And the living organism injured, hurt, and teared answers that the injury. And he does it by a precious pearl. It is hurt and harmed, and yet here comes out of that harming, hurting, and aching, and pain, here comes that beautiful pearl. And thirdly, a pearl then is a thing of priceless value. It's a thing of great and wondrous beauty, and it is used for the embellishment of kings, to adorn kings, and to decorate the kings and the queens and those of authority. You can use diamonds for cutting impervious objects, but the pearl is good for just one thing, adornment or embellishment. And so it is a thought of adding to the person wearing the pearl. It adds to that person, that king or that queen. It embellishes it and helps the land show it up and make them stand out. The word pearl means pure. So the pearl today suggests a purity, that really purity that comes out of wounding, a symbol of purity. It was hurt, it was harmed, and out of this comes a pure and beautiful pearl. So the first weak thing we see is the pearl, where it came from, how it was formed, and the real value of the pearl. So keep that in mind. So we have the pearl. Now the merchant man. Here you have a man seeking goodly pearls. He was not seeking them for himself. He was seeking them for someone else. Remember the value? The value of the pearl is that they adorn the kings, the embellishment of the king. They found their value. And so the merchant man was doing that. He is looking for the pearl to embellish the king or to glorify the king and honor the king. And so he's looking, and in this search, he finds one of exceptional beauty, priceless worth. And the merchant man went and he sold everything, and he goes then to possess it. And that's the little parable put together. And he pays with a great price. He purchased that pearl to give to this king or to embellish the king. Now, that's the story of the pearl. Now, let's look and see, what does this all mean? Well, what's the interpretation? Well, we need not worry who the man is, because we are told by Jesus himself that the man, the Son of Man, was Jesus himself. The fact that he presented here as a merchant doesn't make a bit of difference. He's still the Son of God. He's a man. And what is this man doing? He's searching for pearls, and he finds one. And when he finds that, he sells all he has, and he purchases that pearl of great price. And so that Jesus is showing the mission of his mission to the world. And it's viewed as Jesus is in heaven. And he looks down on earth and he sees this precious thing. And so then he came to this world to purchase that beautiful thing. See? And here it says, Jesus says, and having found the pearl of great price, he sold all that he had. He went and sold. He went. Where did he go? Well, he was in heaven. He isn't on earth and he goes to Mars, but he's in heaven. This merchant Jesus is in heaven, and he sees it on earth, and he left it all and he came to earth. And then Jesus comes from heaven and he sees this pearl. He desires to have it. And that's the picture. Jesus purchasing a poor, lost sinner. That's what we have in this picture. And so Peter talks about this. He says in 1 Peter chapter 18, verse 18, and verse 19, verse 18 and 19. This is what Peter says. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. He's talking to the sinners who are accepted Jesus, the saints now. They're the pearl. And he says, and for as much as ye know you're redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what he paid. That's what the merchant man paid for that pearl, that sinner, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you see it? St. Paul describes it in this fashion. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing unto them, not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and he takes that price and he comes and pays with his own blood for that pearl, which is the poor lost sinners out in the field, out in the world. The field is the world, and they're scattered all over the world. And he comes, he leaves heaven, and he was rich and he became poor so that we through his poverty might become rich. And he comes and he pays that price with his own blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? When we get to heaven, we're going to sing about that precious blood of Christ. They don't sing much about it anymore, and they don't talk much about it anymore. But you better get started on it, because when we get to heaven, that's going to be the song of heaven. He'll have redeemed us with his blood. That's what he's talking about. Now let's look at this another little ways. Here, what is the purpose of this pearl of great price? What is the purpose? Why is it redeemed? What's the reason for all of this? And you find the answer when you go to the book of Ephesians. And in the Ephesians, we will see the value of the redeemed, the invisible church, the body of Christ, the invisible church throughout the world, not just redeemed for us today, but redeemed for all time and forever. That's what he's talking about. And Paul tells us that in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints? The scripture declares that God gains something in his people. When Jesus Christ purchased the pearl of great price and gave it to God, God was enriched. and you say you can't enrich God because he is perfect in all of his glory. But it isn't his, not in his, that's an essential glory. But it means that God can show his glory through his people. Through that pearl, God shows his glory, and it becomes a glorious thing. We honor God. See, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present him church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be without blemish. So you see it? The sand that enters and wounds the living organism of this pearl is just what happened with Jesus, who the Son of God was wounded on the cross. And out of that wound of that cross comes a salvation, that beautiful salvation to pay for that pearl. And it is a purchased possession. The ultimate purpose of the church is not for time, it is for eternity. It is not for earth, it is for heaven, when we are going to be there and add to the glory of God. And the glory of God will come through those his people, his redeemed people that he saw out in that field and purchased with that great price. And what will we do in heaven? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to teach the angels, and we're going to show forth the glory of God. We're going to teach the angels. We're going to sing, for one thing. And I'm not saying we sing better than the angels. I know I don't. But we're going to be singing. And it tells us what we're going to be singing. Revelation 5, 9, and 10. And they sung a new song. This is the Christians. This is the believers. This is that pearl that has been purchased. The invisible church, that's what it is. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast purchased us to God and by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. When we sing about the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we are going to be teaching the angels some lessons, because they've never been redeemed. They don't need to be redeemed because they never sang. They never sinned. And when we sing about this, about he loved me and gave himself for me, they won't know what that's all about, because they never were lost. They never sinned. They never were lost. They were never redeemed. They're learning something from us that we can tell them that they will never experience, because they never sinned and they never had to be redeemed. Don't you see it? There's a song that goes like this. There is singing up in heaven such as we have never known, where the angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. Their sweet harps are ever tuneful and their voices always clear. Oh, that we might be more like them while we serve the Master here. And then here's the chorus. Holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they shall fold their wings, for angels never felt the joy that my salvation brings. We are going to teach them about salvation and redemption. We're going to teach the angels, and we're going to show forth the glory of God. Not that we add anything to God's glory. That's impossible. He's perfect in his glory. But we're going to show forth his glory through us. Like a beautiful, magnificent pearl, God's glory is going to shine through us for all eternity and for all time. So there it is, the pearl of great price, which is the redeemed people of God, the church of the living God. He found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for I am his, and he is mine forever and ever. And then I thought also something else. That beautiful city of God, St. John describes the foundations of that city. And he says of the foundations, he says, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious things, precious stones. And then he lists them. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, janus, amethyst. Then the apostle talks about with all of those precious stones. And then they talk about the gates of heaven. And of the gates of heaven, what do you suppose they're composed of? Pearls. One gate is a huge pearl. Each gate is a huge pearl. And that's the entrance into heaven, because that talks about our redemption that makes it possible for us to come to heaven, to come to God. There was a man named Frederick Bloom. He was a pastor, and he fell deep into sin. He eventually spent time in prison, but he was restored, and he came back to Jesus. And he pastored churches until his death in 1927. And while he was in prison, or shortly thereafter, he wrote a song about his black backslidden condition and how that the restoration and fellowship came and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ again. The song he wrote is this: Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus just the same through tests of time. Like a dove when hunted, frightened, as a wounded fawn was I. Broken-hearted, yet he healed me. He will heed the sinner's cry. Love divine, so great and wondrous, all my sins he then forgave. I will sing his praise forever, for his blood is power to save. In life's eventide at twilight, at his door I'll knock and wait. By the precious love of Jesus I shall enter heaven's gate. And then the chorus: He the pearly gates will open so that I may enter in, for he purchased my redemption and forgave me all of my sin. And so this parable of great price, what do you take from it? You take this, my dear friends, that God in heaven saw us in our sin in the world. He looked down out of heaven and he saw that though there was something there what could be of great value, but it had to be purchased. It was like a beautiful pearl that no man has ever seen. And so he sent his son. And his son came and he went to the old rugged cross eventually. And he shed his blood to redeem that people in that world, out in the field, out in the world, all over the world. And as they turn to him and receive him, they become a part of that precious pearl. And that's why we preach, and that's why we have this Christian worship hour. We do it because you need to come to Jesus. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so Jesus came to this world and he died for you. But that won't do a bit of good unless you receive him. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, I don't know how. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believed on his name. And you said, I want to receive Jesus right now. I don't know how. How do I do it? How do you do it anyway? Anytime if somebody knocks at your door, he says, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. I stand at your heart and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Jesus is saying, I want to come into your life. I want to cleanse you of your sins. I want you to be a part of that invisible church. I want you to be a part of the body of Christ. I want you to be a part of that pearl. But you have to open that door and you have to ask me in. You say, I don't know what to say. I'll tell you what to say. In your own words, and you don't need thee and thou and all of the rest of it. You just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. I'm a poor lost sinner. And I'm sorry for my sins. Just in your own way, say it. Say it now. I'm a poor lost sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And then you say, dear Jesus, I'll make you the Lord of my life. You'll be my Lord and my Savior. I'll serve you as long as I live. And then you thank him. Thank him for saving you. And then you tell somebody. Now, if you've done that, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And you write to us anywhere in the world, and we'll send you literature to get you started in your Christian life. Write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is easy. 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, U.S. 57402, USA. You write to us And we'll send you this literature, and you can get started in the Christian life. And I have a suspicion that all over the world, there are thousands turning to Jesus, and we rejoice in that. You will be a great value to the Lord. You'll be that pearl of great price. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus, who came to this world and gave himself and suffered this indignities and sorrows and pain that no man ever explained. And Lord, he took our sins, which was the worst thing of all, and he paid for them in full. And now we pray that many will open their heart and say that prayer, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. And whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We believe multitudes will do that. And then, Lord, we pray to comfort and strengthen your people. We think of those on sick beds and those who are shut-ins and those who are aged and they can't get around. And maybe they're lonely and maybe their friends don't come very often. And help them to know there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and you'll never leave them or forsake them, and you're right there with them. And so, oh God, just comfort their hearts and give them hope and faith and trust. And those in the world who are suffering for you, Lord, bless and help them. And may we all do that to the honor and glory of the Son of God, who gave himself for us, and now we give ourselves to him. Oh, God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for opening the doors. We thank you for taking us in. Thank you we could have this time together. You'll be praying for us. We'll be praying for you. Be sure to write to us. We've given you our address. Need to hear from you. And then the Lord willing, we'll all get together next week. And we'll talk about the prodigal son. That's an exciting story. So until that time, may the blessings and the love and the nearness of Christ rest and abide upon each one of you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.